Let us explore the Bible together on Glorious Morning Study Hour on AWR SID Media, from broadcast to baptism.
Now, in our series this week, our Fundamental Belief Series, we've been looking at baptism. Today we are wrapping it up, and baptism, maybe you've been thinking about it for a long time, or maybe the idea is completely new to you, I'm not sure. Perhaps you've been wondering if it is time for you to be getting baptized, right? Does it even matter, though, you know, if you get baptized or not? And if you're feeling that way, I can guarantee you, you're not alone. In fact, many have been where you are. Joel says, multitudes being found in the valley of decision. Now, as we conclude our study for this little, I mean, it's going to be addressing the today of baptism. What does that look like in essence? Mfundisi, good morning and welcome for the final time this week.
Good morning, sir. And thank you.
Trusting that
I'm happy to be here.
Thank you so much, Mfundisi. I hope you're doing okay.
I'm alive.
You're alive.
Yes, sir. And that's what matters.
That counts for something, right?
Yes. Everything else can just wait. I'm alive, and glory to God, I'm alive.
Amen. 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 Mfundisi, talking baptism, we've been going under the assumption that there is one form of baptism. But when you look at the world around, yeah, there are many forms of baptisms, aren't there? I mean, the verse in Ephesians will say one Lord, one baptism, one faith. But when you look around in the Christian faith, there are many baptisms. Talk to us about the different types of baptisms that are practiced today.
All right. There's quite a few. When I saw this brief, I looked around and said, there's quite a few.
Yeah, yeah.
But there's about four that stands out that I think are practiced between different denominations.
Okay.
Infant baptism is the first. This would be a baptism of little babies.
Okay.
Yeah. And we know that the requirement for baptism, or maybe something or one thing that precedes baptism, is the education about baptism. That aspect of teaching a person or an individual with regards to the decision to be baptized then disqualifies infant baptism.
Okay.
Nonetheless, we spoke about ordinances sometime early this week.
Yes.
Child dedication then can be a suitable option when it comes to infants.
Oh,
you can dedicate a baby at an early stage so that as they grow in the Lord, then they are fit enough to take the teachings and then make a personal decision with regards to baptism.
Mm-hmm.
Another one, it's some churches sprinkle as a form of baptism.
Mm-hmm.
The origins of the word, you know, besides even looking at the Bible, the origin of the word baptizo,
yeah,
or baptism just somehow stands out against sprinkling as a form of baptism, because remember, I had said on Monday, I think, that baptism originates from a concept of coloring fabric or changing the color of fabric.
Yes.
That would mean, therefore, the whole piece of cloth or fabric should be immersed in the dye, not portions of it. Just imagine changing the color of a sheet.
Mm-hmm.
By sprinkling it, it would look more like a mess than actual baptism. So that's also disqualified. There's another interesting one, triune immersion, where people are immersed three times. Yes.
Yeah. But that's what the Bible says, like, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Yeah, but remember, the Bible also teaches us that the three are one. The three are triune. I think Christ speaks to one of his disciples. It's Philip, I'm not sure anymore.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's Philip who says, show us the Father.
Yes, yes.
And Christ says to him, look, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father.
Yeah.
When Christ is baptized, the three of them, Christ is baptized once, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
The three of them are economically playing their roles. The voice of the Father comes and says, "This is my Son in whom I am well pleased," and the Holy Spirit appears in the form of a dove, and yet Christ is baptized once. So there isn't really a need to baptize the person three times in one set on the basis that maybe it completes a proper baptism. No, one being immersed once is enough. It does the trick, and you are baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The fourth one we talked about yesterday, rebaptism. We discussed it briefly. If and when there's a need, it becomes permissible to rebaptize the person.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And maybe as you're touching on that one, Mfundisi, should you realize that perhaps you had received any of the prior baptisms, the sprinkling, the three times the triune immersion, like you said, or perhaps the teaching, because you mentioned of how the teaching must precede the baptism. Maybe the teaching you had received was not the right one and you've now received new teaching. Do any of these then mean you must then get rebaptized as well?
Yes, in some instances, yes. In some instances, no, you may get proper teachings afterwards and then you're accepted by confession of faith. But you see, that infant one definitely qualifies proper baptism by immersion. And the sprinkling as well. Remember, you need to understand that baptism also represents the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ at the cross.
Okay, yeah.
And it also represents your own death to your own self and now the resurrection of a new man, a new creature, rebirth. Yeah. So in some instances, I don't want to make blanket statements where I can say it's supposed to be like this, whereas in some instances, we have to evaluate the situation.
Okay.
There are people who've been baptized properly from other denominations. And if they then come to the truth of accepting maybe the Adventist truth, there isn't really a need for us to take them to the water again. They've been baptized in the name of the Father and the Holy Spirit. Yes, in a proper way. Perhaps maybe it was just a matter of understanding the truth as it progresses. Case in point, or maybe an example, is the Sabbath truth.
Okay.
Yeah, there are many people that keep Sunday as if it's the Sabbath, and they do not know that the Sabbath is actually the first day, the seventh day of the week, which is Saturday.
Yeah.
If such a person has already been baptized in a proper manner, and they come to understand that, look, I must join the community that keeps the entire commandments, the Ten Commandments as they are, there isn't really a need to take them back to the water. We can just accept them on the basis that they confess that they believe in baptism, they've been baptized, and they now accept the truth
the
of
teaching.
The Sabbath. Yes.
Okay, okay. And I wanted to ask a question about what happens in the Adventist church itself. But before I do, I want to point out, especially coming from these different types of baptism, that I think we hinted on this one yesterday. Baptism apparently changed when Constantine needed to be baptized when he joined the church, and people were like, we can't take the whole emperor to the water and dip him. No, 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 he's too important. Then the different types of sprinkling and whatnot, and X's and crosses on the forehead and whatnot. There's an Adventist pastor, I think it is 2 years ago or so, who came across somebody who needed baptism and was not well. Could not go under the water, as it were. So he then had the elderly gentleman sit in the water, and then he took a bucket or something and started pouring water over this gentleman and called that baptism. Ooh, and yeah, did he get a backlash? Had to come and apologize. What happens, Mfundisi, when someone is unwell and can't go into the water traditionally? Can some sort of leeway or meeting them halfway be done?
I think I addressed this on day one.
Mm-hmm.
There are cases where you can't baptize the person in a conventional way, in a traditional way, because for of many reasons. Then There's a dedication ceremony that can cater for such a case.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a special case, and therefore, we can dedicate that person in a special way, or for them to be able to, somehow be included in the faith movement that we call a church. Nonetheless, prescriptions by the Bibles are, by the Bible are important. If we can get you in the water, in the body of water, and bury you and resurrect you in the name of Jesus Christ,
The better.
by all means possible, let's do it. But God, as I said the other day, God is not polarized. God looks at every case
Certainly.
within its merit, and then caters to it within its merit. So the blanket approach doesn't always apply.
So
There are cases.
this meeting them halfway, Mfundisi, is it then necessary, since you're saying we can just do a dedication and God understands or can meet them at that point of need? Do we don't need to then say, no, well, this one, yeah, because we can't put them in the water, we'll just sprinkle, and God there's no need to then go that far.
You know what? I'm afraid to tap into that space because everything should be done within order. Yeah, and within the confines of the Bible. We don't have a scale, we don't have an example in the Bible of such a case where John the Baptist made someone sit beside the river and
And it
have
started
then
splashing
took a
water from
bucket and no, we don't have
the
such an example. So I think it would be wise to be careful in that regard. Yeah, let's try to maintain what scripture says
I like
to the best
that.
of our
I
ability.
like that.
Yes.
Mfundisi, Adventists, what are they doing now and how are they conducting their baptisms? I want you to maybe to touch as well on the issue of baptism and church membership, how somehow, especially in the Adventist faith, they've merged these two.
Yeah.
Maybe talk to us a bit about that, because I can't just walk into an Adventist church and I find them baptizing and say, yeah, baptize me, I'll see you guys. I don't want to join your church, I just need the water. Can we do that, or maybe touch on that?
Yeah. Funny enough, I was reading in preparation of a presentation on history, church history. When reading, I looked at how the church would quantify quality in growth. And interesting enough, I discovered that the church is concerned with growth administratively and in numbers as well. The two are paired together. Administrative with regards to order, things should be done properly and in order. And then quantitatively, we should grow also in numbers. Nonetheless, the growth in numbers also dictates that we produce a good quality of converts. Yes. So the position of the Adventist Church is that before we baptized, preparation is of paramount importance. Teaching the converts about the principles of the Bible and what God is about with regards to salvation is of utmost importance. So the reason you can't just walk into a baptismal ceremony and say, I would like to be baptized now. The challenge is that we have not vetted you, we have not taught you, we do not know if you know what you are getting baptized
You've
into.
counted the cost,
Yes, and therefore it is wise that if you raise your hand or if you avail yourself for baptism, we can try our best as a church to prepare you for the next baptismal ceremony. And that would mean we spend time with you, teaching you. And the goal is that we do not take you, as I said, I think it's yesterday, we do not take you into the water a dry devil and you come out a wet
A
devil.
wet devil, yeah. Because
Yes.
Mfundisi, on that one, people have sometimes, I remember I was attending another governance session at a different church, and they were pointing out how, but you know what, when the maybe this is when the Spirit has spoken to this person. Now, when you say, wait, we'll teach you, then maybe they don't decide to be baptized anymore, and now you've lost the soul. And I was like, hey, it sounds nice, but there's something wrong theologically with that kind of an approach, you know?
Yeah, We need to understand that God is patient. God is very systematic. God is, yeah, maybe to present the evidence in God being systematic. The planet, as we know it, functions on principles and systems that are very meticulous and articulate. The sun doesn't move away from its axis, even by a fraction. It stays there because if it were to move, this planet would be consumed.
Yeah.
The sun, the moon keeps us in check gravity-wise. If it moves, we'll start floating. So let's not be in a hurry when it comes to the Holy Spirit working in us. The Holy Spirit is kind. The Holy Spirit is patient. And he's a faithful teacher and a comforter, as Christ would say. Also, we should also remember that as much as the Spirit moves our hearts, he moves our hearts and our minds, not just the emotions. And I'm not saying that people would be emotional at the point where they want to be instantly baptized, but let everything be done in order, and let God do what he needs to do with the heart even before we get into the water. We should also remember that this is a symbolic representation. If the principles that are supposed to be addressed before the symbol are not there, the symbol becomes redundant and useless.
It's got no saving grace. That's why it's not a sacrament, right? It's an ordinance.
It's not a sacrament. It's an ordinance, yes.
There is no saving power in the act itself.
Exactly.
I hear you. Funis, if I had time, I wanted us to tap on this age-old controversial argument. I had a discussion with a friend of mine recently regarding Matthew chapter 28 to say, I think we need to go back and understand the Great Commission. We have always understood it to be for everybody in the church, go ye therefore. But he was making a case that perhaps it's just for the clergy and for the anointed and the ordained, which they, is why they are the ones who have the unction to go and baptize. The rest of us, we can bring to them to do the Great Commission work, to teach and to do all those things that Matthew 28 speaks. But actually, this is not for the whole discipleship fold. And I was like, okay, this is a bit of a new teaching. Maybe let's go deeper. And I wanted us to go deeper into that, but I think it needs more time. Maybe then as we wrap up for today, Pastor, since our time is up, what would be your last comments to somebody listening who's been teetering in the valley of decision, like we said in the beginning? What would your encouragement be to them regarding this idea of baptism and they're wondering to do or not to do? What would you say to such a one?
Take the decision to be a part of this community. God will use this community to ensure that in some instances you're catered for. There are problems that are beyond money and sustenance. There are problems that need a community. And a healthy community for that matter, because trust me, people can take advantage of you. People can play around with you. And so this community is safe because in some instances, God won't come down by himself and do things for you. God will use people that he's got on his side to help you. So join this community. If you've got doubts about teachings and whatnot, you can come ask, we will answer you, but do not miss out on the benefits of becoming a member of the Christian community. It will help you more so in this time because we need fellow humans who will cater to every problem or any problem we may have in this time more than ever.
Okay.
And as I said, God uses human beings. Join us. Come. Join the fold.
Amen. Amen. Join the fold. I like that. Nice and clear and simple and straightforward. Mfundisi, let's appreciate you. Thank you so much, man, for joining us this week as we went through this study together. We want to say God bless you and thank you.
Thank you so much. God bless you too. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Have you missed out on any interesting discussions from Adventist World Radio SID Media? Simply go to www.sidmedia.org to listen to all podcasts and previous shows. Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media, from broadcast to baptism.